This is the CRA Podcast, a podcast committed to highlighting the great work across the nation in transforming communities through the power of economic development and the Community Reinvestment Act. And now, here's your host and CRA enthusiast, Linda Lewis-Izuka.
Well, hello there. I have the great pleasure of interviewing Jenny Flores, who is head of Small Business Growth Philanthropy for the Wells Fargo Foundation, one of the largest corporate foundations in the U.S. In fact, in 2018, the Wells Fargo Foundation donated $444 million to accelerate economic opportunity and success in underserved communities with a strategic focus on housing affordability, small business growth, and financial health. And with more than two decades of experience in philanthropy, employee engagement, and corporate citizenship, Jenny is responsible for combining financial resources with business expertise to help underserved and diverse entrepreneurs expand their impact on the economy and ability to provide jobs. Most recently, she served as head of community affairs and corporate social responsibility at Bank of the West, where she led the company's strategy for small business engagement and impact, including the creation of a new $30 million investment fund with community development financial institutions. Prior to her role with Bank of the West, Jenny spent a decade in community development at Citigroup and also held roles at the Congress of California Seniors, the Green Lining Institute, and the California State Legislature. I can go on and on because Jenny is such a leader in this space. So without further ado, here is our interview together. I was so excited to hear that you joined Wells Fargo earlier this year, and I'm curious to learn about the scope of your new position and a little more about your overarching social impact and small business growth strategy.
Well, thanks, Linda. I'm so excited to be here. Yes, I actually joined Wells Fargo in early 2020. I thought it was a great opportunity to join this company at a time of transformation. Yep. We're really looking to be intentional about the social impact that we want to drive and to be really purpose-driven as a company. And so for me, I happen to enjoy transformation and that going through cultural change in organizations.
Great.
I really feel that for me, like you can leave a very long-lasting impact on how the company operates at a really fundamental level. So I jumped, I'm here. And what I'm working on now is I'm the head of Small Business Growth Philanthropy. And what that means is it's a brand new job. The bank never had this job in the past. It was created to really galvanize the energy that we have around small business to create a shared mission and vision for what we want to do and help achieve for small business across the enterprise. So I think my vision from even before I got the job and I communicated to the company was that we can be a positive driver of the economy, you know, if we help to catalyze the success of diverse businesses, to help them start up, to help them scale, to build resiliency, and to grow. And so the success of these small businesses is intricately tied to our success. Yep. As we grow our business and help, you know, provide loans and other services. But it's also a pride point for us as we see the role that Wells Fargo can play in as an economic engine, particularly at this time. You asked about just strategy, and I think for us, you know, I haven't been there that long, but our strategy right now has crystallized around three things. One is driving capital and product innovation. I think that COVID-19, frankly, has put this new burden on us to really challenge the way that we do business, and are we doing it in a way that helps small businesses where they are today? Yeah. And so I'm looking at investing in new types of product that's evolving, it's more flexible. I'm looking at partnerships with like funds that are popping up that are geared towards diverse businesses and really putting some money behind the kinds of product that we need for the future. The thing is around technology. And I think that helping to fund tech-enabled solutions is really important for the support of nonprofits, for their data capability, you know, to help their infrastructure as they serve small businesses. And then for small businesses themselves, like how they use tech to reach customers, to provide services digitally. So we believe technology is a lever and we want to invest in that. And then the third thing is business model innovation. I think that we are seeing a lot of social issues being addressed through entrepreneurship. And we intend to get behind what I call change makers, these entrepreneurs who are driving sustainable businesses, but they also have a social impact lens to their business model. So I think in combination with those three things, we will be a powerful force for small businesses.
Such a great vision. The partnerships, the tech-enabled solutions, and the change makers. I can't wait to see where that goes.
It's fantastic. Yes, and of course, it has a CRA angle, right?
Like, of course.
Being responsive and innovative and helping to increase our reach are all good things for CRA. It will be a benefit, obviously, of these strategies, and we're really excited.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about Wells Fargo's history of serving small business initiatives and its continued commitment to serve those diverse small businesses. And, we might want to just ask how you actually define diversity in this context, because as you know, that can be so broad in terms of its interpretation.
Well, Wells Fargo has had a very long and deep commitment to small business, and we've been one of the top small business lenders for many, many years. In terms of getting behind and supporting diverse entrepreneurs, back in 2015, Wells Fargo, this precedes me, but they understood that there was an opportunity to get capital in the hands of small businesses, particularly the diverse. So they leveraged they've been partners with CDFIs or collaborators with CDFIs for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. So I created something called the Diverse Community Capital Program. Mm-hmm. And that's a five-year, $175 million commitment to provide that capital to community development financial institutions or CDFIs. Mm-hmm. And these are community-based lenders that operate in regionally, nationally, locally. And their commitment is to bring capital to businesses that can't access traditional bank financing. So we knew that if we got that money to them, they would be able to reach diverse entrepreneurs. And it's been phenomenal. In the last 5 years, we deployed that $175 million. We enabled 90 CDFIs to finance $1.6 billion in loans, deliver 1.7 hours of training and services, and empower diverse small business owners to maintain 195,000 jobs. Wow. It's an incredible feat in a five-year period to see the growth of small businesses that are led by diverse entrepreneurs. And you asked me what we mean by that. We mean Black, African-American, Latino, Asian, and Native. These are the communities that are traditionally not accessing capital, either through CDFIs or banks. So we made an extra effort to ensure that they could access that with our Diverse Community Capital Program.
That's great. The 5 years and your return on your $175 million investment, there's just so much leverage and so amazing to have $1.6 billion of capital leveraged by that. It's so much impact. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, excellent. So this work is just so important. And of course, even more so right now, as we're grappling with our collective economic fragility due to the pandemic and our continued commitment to these disadvantaged communities that are bearing such a disproportionate share of the socioeconomic impact, right? So to that end, I was hosting a webinar on how to account for the PPP loans under a bank CRA program. And I was thrilled to learn that you then announced the Open for Business initiative. It was such a brilliant strategy to reinvest the PPP income for even more impact to fuel COVID recovery. Can you give us just a little behind the curtain look into that program and your hopes for impact?
Of course, I'd be happy to share. I'm extremely proud of this initiative. So the way that this came about was that early on when the PPP program launched, we started to see that small businesses, and by small, I mean micro, like businesses under $100,000 in revenue, they were not accessing the PPP program successfully. And so I think at the time, we understood that those businesses are critical to local economies across the country. So Wells Fargo did two things. One, we focused our PPP lending on small businesses with fewer than 50 employees.
Yep. Nice.
So the outcome of that was that more than 50% of our PPP loans were for amounts of $25,000 or less. And then our average loan size is around $60,000. So you can tell just by the numbers that we were really targeting the smaller businesses. So we're very proud of that. Yep. The second thing that we did early on was that our CEO committed to giving away all of the fees that we generated through our PPP lending. And then to clarify, I've been asked this a lot, like, are these fees that you get from customers? No. Right. These were the dollars that the SBA would reimburse Wells Fargo for underwriting those PPP loans. So basically it was revenue.
Very good point.
Yes. We gave all of those fees away. So back when our CEO made the announcement, it was early April, we had no idea what kind of volume we would have in the end, but it turns out to be a $400 million opportunity. Then turned around and launched as the Open for Business Fund. And this fund has three objectives. So the first thing, it was meant to be both short and long-term in its impact. So the first thing we did was we leveraged the collaboration that we had with the CDFIs via the Diverse Community Capital Program.
Yep.
And we said we had a lot of learnings from that initiative. So we wanted to leverage that CDFI network, and we put $250 million aside for CDFIs. We launched that grant program in early July, and the focus of that was to get cash in the hands of struggling small business owners in the form of loans or grants or interest rate buy downs, payment deferrals, whatever the CDFIs need to do to ensure that small businesses have successful cash flow, we allow them to do that with those dollars. These are all grants. You don't need to be paid back. Those dollars are going to stay with the CDFIs to support small businesses. The second part of the program is technical assistance. And we are about to launch this second grant program because we believe that providing cash to small businesses is not enough. We understand that there are so many difficult decisions that need to be made. And being an entrepreneur is tough to navigate this ever-changing landscape. So we're putting $50 million behind technical assistance. Like I said, that grant program will launch in probably 1 or 2 weeks. Provide that for, say, like chambers of commerce or small business development centers. Organizations have a commitment to quality technical assistance. And the third part of this grant program is $100 million for what we call recovery and resiliency. And this is meant to provide long-term support to ensure that there is a strong ecosystem that supports small business growth. In any community, you can go and examine what that ecosystem is. And usually you have nonprofits who are playing a role. A lot of local governments will play a role in supporting small business. You have banks and other CDFIs that support the small business to succeed. But we are seeing all of that shifting in light of COVID and how these networks are realigning for higher impact. And we want to put some money behind that to ensure that on a long-term basis, small businesses have the resources to succeed. Right. That grant will not launch until probably early 2021. But it is, I think, in combination, a very powerful way to drive impact both short and long term.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting because so many of the programs initially were debt, you know, surrounded around debt. But the reality is the equity piece and grants and technical assistance are such an important part of the solution, right? Because you can't throw debt at entities that can't repay, right? You have to, you know, refocus on cash flow projections and new strategies. So glad to hear that you're deploying more flexible capital.
Yeah, no, and I think for the CDFIs as well, like, there's only so many loans they can take on to make more equity on their balance sheet to be able to leverage that. So we understood that opportunity, and we're just so, so proud that we could put $250 million out in that way.
It's amazing. So as you know, I help bankers master the art of CRA and transform communities through the power of economic and community development.
So what advice would you give to banks
that are just starting to partner with CDFIs or maybe even considering their next initiative to aid in COVID recovery and racial inclusion during this extraordinary time?
Yes, it's an interesting question because I have served both at large and smaller banks. And there's always this tension of, oh, you know, if we only had more money.
Yep.
I've learned that it's not how much you have, but what you do with what you have, right? Yep. How strategic are you in deploying resources and how strategic are you in establishing these collaborations? So my advice would be that you have to understand first, what is your strategy? Are you trying to reach small businesses in your local markets? Like what markets? And then really examine what potential CDFIs serve that community. Right. And do you want them to help? You know, like what kind of collaboration do you want? Do you want it to be one of, I want to increase my reach to provide loans? Or is it, I want to increase my reach to learn more about how I can better serve diverse communities? And once you're clear about that, you can go in and establish a partnership that's very rewarding, that frankly goes above and beyond a check. Because CDFIs certainly need the money, but what they need in equal dose is that expertise. What expertise do you have, say as a regional bank, in serving small businesses? And how can you help scale up some of these good efforts with the reach that you have and the expertise that you have? How do you plug your employees into some of the opportunities that CDFIs may have to be on a loan committee or to provide mentorship to small businesses? That is not only a great CRA CD service opportunity, but such a rewarding experience for employees who often yearn to go out and do something good in the world. Exactly. Not that they don't do good as bankers, but there's this connection that you build with someone. And when you say, I'm just bringing you my most honest, kind of truthful advice, given my experience, it radically changes the way that employees show up. So I would encourage banks who are jumping into this space right now to consider those opportunities that may not be as apparent.
Right, right. Powerful. Absolutely. You know, to that end, one underutilized strategy I still witness today is the power and possibilities of those banks and CDFI referrals. Both banks and CDFIs are so critical to the flow of capital in local communities that the more I see close partnerships and referrals, the more we really realize the multiplier effect, right? And shoring up strong businesses and strong relationships and truly that financial opportunity. What are some of the other ways you're seeing in your leadership and community circles of innovation and partnerships to this end?
Yeah, I think that given the magnitude of the situation, both with COVID and the economy and small businesses closing, and it's just so complex, that cross-sector collaboration is critical. There is no one company or one person or one government entity that can solve this. We really need to bring our best strategies and figure out how we work in collaboration to leverage the resources that we have. And so I'm seeing a lot of collaboration when it comes to small business. I think municipal government and state governments have taken the leadership in many cases to say, we're starting a loan fund and we want, you know, banks and nonprofit, we want the investment and then we want to work together to deploy these resources. And it's happening in ways that I think are really powerful to drive impact. As an example, in New York, they launched the New York Forward Loan Fund and it's meant to provide grants to small businesses that are opening up and they have to kind of pivot their business model to adapt to this new world we're living in. And so we saw that come together really quickly. We pledged a $20 million investment last month to support the loan fund. And then we see nonprofits, small business development centers being a core kind of anchor in delivery. So it's not one person or one company. There's others invested in the fund, obviously. And we're all working collaboratively to make that happen. Right. So collaboration is key right now. Also, I think thinking differently is important. A few months ago, I think it was early, maybe June, when the Ford Foundation announced that it would launch, it would actually issue a social impact bond because they wanted to support the nonprofit sector in a major way. And they wanted to go above their 5% distribution. Yep. And we, Wells Fargo, were partnered to them. We helped them with that bond offering. And it was incredible to be able to work with the Ford Foundation team to learn about their strategy, how they wanted to deploy the grants, like big picture thinking. Obviously gave us ideas about how to collaborate above and beyond the bond. But these are ways that different stakeholders are coming together because of the magnitude of what we're facing. And I encourage that. I encourage anyone listening to this podcast to think about the stakeholders in their local community or nationally that would make sense to collaborate with and figure out how to do that. Right. I think you'd be surprised that more people are more open to doing that because we understand that we go farther together.
Absolutely. And there's so many opportunities. I mean, we can obviously think to the Ford Foundations and the Wells Fargos of the world, of course, but to use your example as, you know, a model that we can look in our local communities and just start, just listen, learn who else is out there, and then just start having conversations about possible partnerships. It's where everything starts, right? I'm just so proud of you and this work that you're forging at Wells Fargo. And I always leave these community development conversations with leaders such as yourself with so much inspiration and enthusiasm to drive future impact. To this end, and our time together today, I would love to close with an inspirational thought or two. What are you most inspired about, or what drives you really to do this work?
I would say that in the middle of chaos, I have chosen to focus on reimagining the future and how we can proceed from here. And while that feels daunting, it's also super exciting because I think about what are the things that, from my point of view, have been broken, like systematically broken, systematically areas that keep people from succeeding. And how do we get underneath that and reconfigure a system, an ecosystem that looks different and that provides equal access to all entrepreneurs, irrespective of who they are, what their color of their skin is. And so while it is a daunting task, it is equally exciting. And like I mentioned earlier, the collaborations that are possible feel like limitless. We call other entrepreneurs, we can call other corporations. You know, we're working with the Business Roundtable. There's just so much opportunity. And so I would say that if you have lemons, make lemonade. And that is what drives me. Right. But there is an opportunity. It's not all bad. There are some wonderful things that will come out of this time. Lots of learnings, lots of introspection, but ultimately a whole new path, you know, creating new pathways for entrepreneurs and communities that are facing some of the deepest hardship to be able to succeed and ultimately have a better opportunity.
Right. Well, thank you so much for your leadership and your dedication in this space. And, you know, thank you for your time today, of course, and the great work that you do. I just can't wait to witness all of your impact going forward. So, and of course, I just can't wait to see you in person again when the time is right, because, you know, I miss being in front of and being with our, you know, fellow CRA social impact colleagues. So thank you so much for all that you do, Jenny.
Thank you, Linda, for the opportunity. And I will certainly be happy to share as this evolves, but it's been such a joy to reconnect via the podcast and to examine what's new and exciting at Wells Fargo. So thank you.
Great. Thank you so much again. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the CRA Podcast with Linda Lewis-Izuka. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, cratoday.com. Don't forget to leave us a positive review on iTunes and be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous podcasts. Join us next time for another edition of the CRA Podcast.